Bridge Church VA online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Today we're starting a brand new series called Making Change. Everybody say Making Change. Man, y'all are pumped up this morning. I want to let you know, man, it's much easier for me to preach when y'all are pumped up. I don't preach longer. But when y'all don't say nothing, I got to preach longer. So it's like, I don't know if y'all getting it, so let me go for another 30. No, I'm just joking. But making change. And when I say that, you may kind of have a bevy of things and thoughts that go through your mind when we have this title of this series. But this series is all about helping us understand how God uses our generosity to make change in the lives of people. That God calls us to be generous with our lives, to be givers, and that through our generosity, He changes lives. He impacts people. That being generous is, it's all about honoring God, and our generosity is what God uses to change lives. Hence the reason why we're calling this series Making Changes. So my hope and prayer is that over the next 4 weeks that we would have an open heart and let God do open heart surgery on us in areas where we may be reluctant to be generous, whether it's with our time or our resources or our abilities, and we'll talk more about that over the next few weeks as well. But my hope and prayer is that all of us in here, no matter your experiences, no matter your background, no matter how you view the aspect of generosity, that we will let the scriptures form us and mold us to what God desires. Amen? Amen? Awesome. So, hey, we're going to kick off this series with part one of this message series coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. And if you're taking notes, I'm simply calling this message, Leave Your Mark. Everybody say, Leave Your Mark. Matter of fact, turn to somebody next to you. Tell them, Leave Your Mark. Turn to the person who was your second choice, the worst choice, I'm just joking, and tell them, leave your mark. You ain't turned to them at first, man. You're hating on them. But I want to read out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in his writings to his protege, who's a pastor, Timothy. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Then he says this, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Here's what verse 17 and 18 say again. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous. Everybody say, be generous, and willing to share, leaving your mark. Apostle Paul, as I mentioned a few seconds ago, was writing to his protege, his pupil, a guy by the name of Timothy, who's more than likely in his early 30s. He's pastoring a church in Ephesus, and Paul has given him some pastoral advice. He tells Timothy, hey, Pastor Timothy, or Pastor T, we call him that. Pastor T, I want you to be faithful with the people of God. I want you to give them the word of God. I want you to rightly divide the word of God so that way they can apply it to their lives, not just being hearers of the word, but also being doers of the word, because a lot of people like to hear God's word but don't like to do God's word and then try to figure out why they're not living a blessed life. You're not living a blessed life because you're not just hearing it, but you're not doing it. That's a whole other message for a whole other time. So Paul is telling Timothy, he says, in addition to rightly dividing the word and encouraging people to live a life that lines up with the gospels and that lined up with the word of God and with sound doctrine, I want you to also encourage them to be generous. I want you to encourage them to share. I want you to encourage them to invest, because being generous doesn't just have a temporary impact, but our generosity has a lasting impact. So notice what Paul says as we jump ahead a little bit to verse 19 at the end of this portion. He says, in this way they, those who are being generous, will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. In other words, Paul is helping Timothy understand that our generosity is not something that affects now, but it makes a difference for all of eternity. And you may be asking yourself the question, how does my generosity have to do with helping to shape the narrative of eternity as it relates to the lives of people? And Paul will help us understand that in a few moments. But the thing that I really want us to understand is that through your generosity, God makes an impact on the lives of people. He changes the lives of people through our generosity. And the reason why sometimes that's difficult to understand is because we typically think when it comes to resources or time that it's all about us. That very rarely do we connect generosity to life change. But rather as something that sets us back in our time or sets us back in our resources or sets us back in our efforts. And so when we think of generosity, it's like, man, that's less resources or that's less time or that's less effort that I have to spend on my stuff. That's less of the things that I can eat from and benefit from. And the reason why I think that's so important for us to understand is because we live in a culture that's very self-centered, where it's all about us, right? Like, we look at this on TV, we look at that on TV, you see stuff or have conversations with people, and people are like, man, you got to do what's best for you. And to an extent, that's true. But a lot of times, we divorce that from the greater narrative of what God wants to do, not just in us, but through us. And so very rarely do we pray prayers that are big for other people. So we ask God, God, would you bless me? But how often do we spend praying, God, would you bless them? Or would you bless me so I can bless them? That's big boy, big girl Christianity right there. Because a lot of times we just kind of have this very self-centered approach to who God is and to the things that he calls us to do. But yet here, Paul is helping us understand, man, that you leave a mark in the lives of people, you help to impact the lives of people when you're generous. In other words, you're making change happen. You're impacting somebody's life. And Paul jumps right into it. I want to jump right into it here. Because as he opens up these few verses, verses 17 through 18 is what we're going to look at. He helps us understand that leaving our mark by being generous is about a few things. And we got it in the notes in your app. And you can take notes if you don't have the app or phone. You can write them down. But number one, it's about helping us understand the motivation behind our generosity. Verse 17, Paul talks about it. Notice what he says. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Why? Because he is the one who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Do y'all see it? In the midst of Paul saying, command those to be rich, command those who are rich in this present age to be generous and not to be arrogant, not putting their hope in wealth and all that good stuff, he says, here's why. Because God is the one who has blessed us with it. That's why the scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Like, he's the one who gave it to us. Now, I know that, you know, you take a lot of pride in your accomplishments and, you know, you're the one who's working those hard hours, but God has given you the ability to be able to do it. It all comes back to him. It all comes back to him. I was having a conversation the other day with my son. He's 4 years old. He's at this point now where he's very, very strategic with a lot of his thinking and communications with me. He's very much like me. He likes to kind of have these interesting conversations and raise certain questions and make certain statements that kind of cause you to be like, what? What'd you say, huh? So we were in the car the other day, and he and our middle child, Aubrey, they were in the back, and they like to kind of go back and forth with what I like to call the war of the words. And so when we leave, they always like to be like, buy house or buy Aubrey house, and then Josiah be like, buy Josiah house. Almost to say, this ain't your house, this is Josiah's house. And then I step in and say, hold on, it ain't neither one of y'all houses. This is my crib. My name is on this mortgage. Then the Holy Spirit be like, no, no, no. I gave you this house, right? But I think it's oftentimes, you know, interesting how the things that God will bless us with, we'll take ownership over as if it's ours in the first place. Let me help us understand something. You are an owner with everything that God gives you. You are a steward over what God has given you, not an owner. There's a difference between a steward and an owner, a manager and an owner. You go to Chick-fil-A right now where they close on Sundays. It messes with my theology, man. Food that good should not be restricted to 6 days a week, right? But you go to Chick-fil-A, you notice the manager on the floor, they do have a certain level of authority, but not the same as the owner. The owner can come in and shut it down just like that. And it's the same now when it comes to the things that God has given us, whether it's our gifts, whether it's our abilities, whether it's our time, our resources, whatever it is, our income. We are not owners, we are stewards. And just as I was trying to help Arby and Josiah understand, like, hey, this is daddy and mommy's house. We just let y'all live here. You guys are stewards, so manage your room well. Go make up your bed, clean up them toys. Don't just leave this trash on this table after we just done cooked this food, or after, rather, Ariel just cooked this food. You don't want my cooking, man. No, man, I cooked some pasta, that's about it. But you're a steward, not an owner. And a lot of times when we approach the aspect of generosity, we don't think like that, which is why we kind of hold on to things. But Paul helps us understand that God has been generous to us. God has blessed us. And a lot of times when we think blessings, we think of all the tangible things. Oh, he gave me a new job. He gave me a new boo. You know what I'm saying? He gave me new hair. He gave me a new fitted cap. I said new hair. He gave me new jeans. He gave me new shoes. Like, and all those things are good. But those things all pass away. The reason why God is generous is because he has extended to us the greatest gift that this world has ever seen, which is the gift in the Son of his, the gift of his Son Jesus, his grace, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy. Jesus is the greatest gift to us. So notice here what Romans 6:23 says. I want you to understand how God is generous and how he is a giver and how it's made a difference in our lives. Here's what Romans 6:23 says. We got it on the screen. For the wages of sin is death. In other words, every wrong thing that you did deserved one outcome, which was death. And when the Bible talks about death, it's not necessarily about physical, it's about spiritual, eternal separation from God. That's what you and I deserve. But the gift of God, notice the gift of God, God is a giver, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, God didn't give you what you deserve. He gave you what you didn't deserve, which was his Son Jesus. You didn't deserve God's love. You didn't deserve God's grace. You didn't deserve God's mercy. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God. Let me kind of boil it down to this to help us understand it in a very simplistic way. Your church attendance does not make you right with God. How many scriptures you know does not make you right with God. Whether you got a Jesus is my Savior bumper sticker on your car does not make you right with God. No matter how many inspirational posts you put on Instagram and on Facebook and put a little picture of a cross, that doesn't make you right with God. Good things, but don't make you right with God. The only thing that makes you right with God is what God has done for you and your response to it, which is to receive it by faith. What has God done for me? He sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins to bridge the gap. Why we call our church the Bridge Church. So that way we could be in a relationship with him. God is a great giver. The old church would say, you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. Come on, somebody. It's my Baptist roots coming out right there. Here's what John 3:16 says. We know this. We've seen it on TV. You see at football games, they got it up there. I don't know why. It's weird. Maybe they're trying to evangelize on TV. I don't know. Here's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. God is a giver. Notice what Galatians 1:4 says. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. God has blessed us richly. He paid a debt for you that you could not pay, which was your sin penalty and debt. You were spiritually bankrupt. And God said, don't worry about it, I'll pick the tab. All you got to do is receive it by faith. I don't know about y'all, that's the greatest exchange. That's the greatest gift that I've ever received in my life. And any person in here who's a follower of Christ and you know this is true and you've received this grace, you should be able to say the same exact thing. God, I don't have everything that I want. And there may be some rough months and there may be some months where I'm not able to pay stuff on time or some months where I'm struggling. But the one thing that I'm super grateful for, if I don't get anything else, is the fact that I have an everlasting covenantal relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. So if you don't do another thing for me, you've already done more than enough. Can I get a good amen right there? That's the greatest gift you've received. God also does bless you with earthly things. Yeah, he has answered your prayer. You prayed that prayer. God bless you with the job that you did not qualify for, by the way. you prayed for healing and God brought forth healing. And some of us are like, but I prayed a whole lot and some of the things I didn't that I prayed for. It doesn't mean that God isn't a generous giver. What it simply means is if God thought you needed it, and mind you, by the way, his thoughts are higher than ours, his ways are higher than ours, if he knew you needed it, he would have given it to you. But if you don't need it, what he's saying to you is the same thing he said to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:7. My grace is sufficient enough for you. In other words, all you need is me. I'll be your provider. I'll be your shepherd. I'll be the one who's with you. God is generous. God's generosity has changed us forever. Forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever. Yeah, forever. Your life on earth is a small microcosm of your eternal life in Christ. Forever. You look at Revelation, it speaks of that and the goodness of God and the favor of God. And so God has blessed us, and he calls us to now do the same, to leave our mark by being generous. God didn't do this so we could have it for ourselves. God didn't just bless you tangibly so that way you can keep it to yourself. He didn't just give you salvation and offer this free gift of salvation so you could just hoard it and hold it to yourself. No, he does this so that way we can be generous and leave a mark on the lives of other people for all of eternity. One of the hardest things to do, if you're a parent in here, you know what I'm talking about, you'll say amen, is to get your children to share. I gotta teach them that, because they don't just inherently do this. And I think that's a reflection of how oftentimes we are. We have to remind ourselves to be generous. Because naturally we get so caught up with our own issues, with our own life, that we fail to recognize that what God has given us is not just for us to hold on to, but for us to be a blessing with. I say it like this, that when you've trusted God with your life, you can trust him with what you have. If you've trusted him with your life, he's trustworthy to give him what you have. He's trustworthy for you to put it in his hands. We're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. Paul talks about this. That's the whole motivation that Paul lays out in verse 17. Now, don't put your hope in wealth. If you put your trust in money, you're going to be disappointed. If you put your trust in your status, how many degrees you have hanging on the wall, how popular you are, how many followers you have on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter, you will be sadly disappointed. He says, don't put your hope in that stuff. It fades away. Put your hope and your trust in the one who richly provides. I say it like this. I will not put my faith and trust in riches. I will put my trust and faith in the one who richly provides. That's where my faith belongs. Not in the things of this world, because the things of this world, they're here one day, they're gone the next. Paul says this is the whole motivation behind why we are called to be generous, because God has been so generous to us. We didn't deserve it, but yet he did it for us. Is this making sense? Because if you don't get the motivation behind why we're supposed to be generous, nothing else is ever going to make sense. You always ask the question, well, why should I do that much? Well, hasn't God done a whole lot for you? You know, one of the things that blows my mind is oftentimes how I'll have conversations with believers sometimes and you know, followers of Jesus who love Jesus, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, the whole nine, sprayed with the anointing oil of Jesus. I don't know, made that one up. But can be some of the most selfish people. I don't get it. And I, honestly, I say that humbly. I don't understand it, because if I have claimed to receive this gift from God that I don't deserve, how can I withhold these things that God has given me that he calls me to bless others with? It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. And I believe that sometimes God is just sitting in heaven and he's like, man, do you really understand what I've done for you? Because if you did, there wouldn't be a limit to what you do. Which leads me to my next point. Paul talks about not just the motivation behind our generosity and us leaving a mark, but also now the means. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, command them to do good. Command them to do good. Paul didn't say, hey, give them an option. If you feel like doing good one day, okay, cool. If you don't really feel it in the spirit, don't do it at all. What? You know, we like to hide behind that, you know, as believers sometimes. I just don't feel led in my spirit. What you mean? See that person struggling, you ain't going, I don't feel led. Okay. Paul says, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds. And to be generous and willing to share. Notice Paul's very specific with the language that he uses. To be generous, to do good, to share. In other words, leaving a mark through generosity, it requires me to be intentionally generous. Intentionally. It has to be a level of intentionality to be generous. If I want to leave an inheritance for my kids, I have to intentionally do that. Right? Like it can't just be by osmosis. It ain't gonna just happen. I have to intend, like if I want to pay for my kids to go to college at some point in their life, I have to intentionally set money aside. Intentionally be generous with my resources. Because when they turn 18, it's too late. Now I ain't got nothing. And God is like, well, what did you do for the first 18 years? Oh, you intentionally bought them new shoes. Intentionally went to the club. Intentionally spent what you had on yourself. No. Being generous is about being intentional. Here's a few things that I want to mention. Three ways that we can leave our mark by being intentionally generous. Number one is this. I will intentionally give what I have. I will intentionally give what I have. That's what Paul is talking about here. He wants them to be intentional with, notice what he says there verse 18, to be generous and willing to share. Intentionality. In other words, making an effort to do this. God has given me what I have so that I can give it, not hold it. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous. Notice what he says there. You will be enriched in every way so that you can splurge on yourself. So that you can just go buy everything that you want for yourself. No. The reason why God does it is so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, please do not take this and be extreme with what I'm saying. Okay, Pastor, were you just saying I'm just supposed to give everything away and not have anything for myself? That's not what he's advocating for. What he's talking about is that my heart should be postured in such a way where I'm willing to freely give what God has freely given me. And the reason why God blesses me is so that I can be generous. And notice what he says. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. When Paul is writing those words in 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, he's writing to the believers in Corinth, and he's encouraging them to be faithful in what they said they would do in terms of being generous, so that way they can help believers in Jerusalem who had fallen upon hard times financially. He says, God has blessed you, God, so that way you could be a blessing to other people. And what will happen is it will leave a mark on them, and they will give God praise and thanks because of what God has done for you. That's what happens. When you intentionally give what God has given you, it results in people now giving praise to God. Now people being gratitude. Here's a few ways in which we intentionally give as believers. As you see in Scripture, one of the ways is that we give to God through the local church. The pattern all throughout Scripture is that believers would give to God financially through the church. You see that all throughout the New Testament, especially. All throughout Scripture. Here's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 16. He says, now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, that was Sunday for them, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Here's what Paul is saying. He says, I want you to give according to the things that God has given you. He says, on the first day of every week. Now, obviously, that was the cultural concept there is much different than a little bit of our culture now and days. Here's what Paul is advocating for. As God blesses you and as you receive increase, whether it's on your job, whether it's through your paycheck, whatever the case may be, man, you should be intentional with giving to God through your local church. That's what it's about. So that way, the gospel can continue to be spread. So that way, lives can continue to be impacted. That's what he's talking about. That's always interesting when we start to talk about, you know, especially money within the church. Because many of us, some of us in here have had bad experiences. You've come from church backgrounds, or you may have had some church hurt in the area of this generosity, and maybe you've just been like, you know what, I'm not giving anything at all because of what's happened, and I understand your hurt, and I get it. And man, if I didn't really know who God was and didn't really kind of have a sober perspective of the grace and mercy of Jesus as well and what he calls me to do, I would think the same exact thing. But let me help you understand something. My giving to God is not based upon anybody else except my obedience to God. That's it. And if it's hard for me to be able to give to a local church that I'm a part of, well, that means you just need to find a place where God wants you to be so you can be obedient in this area. It's always a sticky topic when you start to talk about money. It's always sticky. It's getting real quiet in here. It's all right. I'm good. But you know that Jesus talked more about money than he did about sex, heaven, and hell all throughout the New Testament? Talk more about money. Why? He says something like this in Matthew 6. You can't serve God and money. You either love one and hate the other. He talked a whole lot about money. Why is that? Because oftentimes what we do is we love things and use people versus loving God and people and using things. And money is no different. Is this making sense? And so oftentimes what God is trying to get us to do is he's trying to get us to get to this place where the more we focus on his grace, the less he has to pry our hands open, because as we focus on what he's done for us, we voluntarily want to share it. So that's why here at our church, you will never ever hear me twist your arm to give. Because my mentality and belief and theological foundation is, if you have a problem giving, it's because you really don't understand the gospel of grace applied to your life. Because there's no way you can look at the cross and what Jesus did and the debt that he paid for you and hold on to what he's given you. No way in the world. But the more you focus on his grace, the more you focus on Jesus, I didn't deserve a doggone thing that you blessed me with. And because of that, I'm going to freely give what you've given me. Yeah. That's what Paul is advocating for, that we give to the local church. Let me say it like this. Stingy people ask, how much can I keep? Generous people ask, how much can I give? Test your heart with that. In the Old Testament, you had this whole system that God set up, so that way the temple priests would get what they need. He set up the tithing system that was giving 10% of the people's income. Back in that time, it was agricultural. In our time, that's financially. In the New Testament, you don't hear too much of the word tithing, but what you hear a whole lot of is this generosity, this grace of giving. And that's the thing that I really want us to understand. Because what Paul is advocating for is, under the old covenant, like the believers back then who were looking to Jesus, they didn't see things fully. They had a faith that had not yet been realized, which would eventually be realized through the resurrection of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus. So they technically weren't under the new covenant. But now, as new covenant believers, which is, by the way, a better covenant than the old covenant, Paul says 10% shouldn't be the ceiling, it should be the floor. Right? Like, I have a better covenant. I have a better high priest. But yet I give him little. I'm so glad Jesus didn't get on the cross and say, I'm only going to give 10% of my blood. No. He gave all of it. And you see this trend all throughout the New Testament, especially in Acts. People were selling possessions. They were selling fields so that way they could bring the resources to the church, so that way the apostles could go out and distribute it as needed and do ministry to meet the needs of people. That's what they did. Why would they do such a crazy thing like that? Because their hearts were gripped by the grace of God, because they remember how sinful and jacked up and messed up and torn from the floor. Make you want to throw up, 90s reference. They recognized how bad they were apart from Christ, but they recognize now how their life has been changed by Christ. Why would I not want to freely give what I have? There's no limit on what I want to give. A pastor friend of mine shared a story about how somebody in their church, listen to me when I say this, I'm not making this up. A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, talks about, he called me literally the day it happened, and he said, dude, you're not going to believe what just happened. I said, what? We always kind of celebrate what happens on Sundays after service is done. We always, you know, talk about God's goodness, God's grace. And he says, bro, we had somebody in our church write a $40,000 check. Hold on. Because based upon some of y'all reactions, y'all like, that's chump change. I could do more than that. Well, doggone it, give. $40,000. $40,000. $40,000. Some of y'all like, I could do a whole lot with $40,000. But you know what they did? They gave it to God through the church. You know, and you know the natural question that we always ask, man, why did they do that? Because they're grateful for the grace of God. That's why. It's not hocus pocus. It's because of what God has done. He paid a debt that I could never pay. And in response to what he did, man, I want to give as much as I can. And that looks different from family to family, couple to couple, person to person. You're not called to measure yours compared to somebody else, but you know exactly what you can do. So the amount, God does not expect us to give the same amount, but he calls us to make the same sacrifice. That's what it's about. It's not a sacrifice that Bill Gates contributes a dollar to our church. Bro, what? Not at all. Not one bit. But for the person who only had a dollar left and gave their last dollar, that takes faith. That's a sacrifice. That's called being generous. And that's the place that God wants us to get to. When we get to this place where we're generous with what God has given us. Let me say it like this. If my standard of living has increased, but my standard of giving hasn't, that's an issue. So God has blessed me financially, but I still give the same amount. What? No, that's a problem. That's a problem. God, thank you so much for blessing me with this so I can keep more for myself. No. We're meant to share more. And not just to give to God through the local church, but God also calls us to give to others, to be a blessing to other people. Yeah. So maybe God didn't give you the bonus so you could spend it on yourself. Maybe he gave you the bonus so you could bless somebody else. I know this is messing with your wallet right now, but I'm really messing with your heart. Because we oftentimes think that it's all about us. God just gives us so that way we can have it. No, it's not about this. Let me say it like this. God calls us to be a channel with what he's given us, not a reservoir. A channel in which his things, his grace can flow. A channel in which his resources can flow, not a reservoir. A reservoir holds on to what it has. A channel freely gives and freely flows with what it has. God says, I want you to not be a container of my grace. I want you to be a conduit. I want your life to be such of a life that things can flow through it. Because through that, I'm going to impact others. I will intentionally give what I have. I will intentionally serve others. Generosity isn't just about giving. It's also about serving, using the abilities that God has given me to leave a mark on other people. It's not just about your giving, because some of us do well in that area, but we're not doing well when it comes to serving others. And some of us are reversed. Some of us do well when it comes to serving, but we don't do well when it comes to giving. God is calling us all to grow. And we all, myself included, have areas in which we can grow. He says, be intentional with being generous, with your abilities. Serve other people. Spend time with other people. Here's what 1 Peter 4 says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Use your gifts to serve other people. Use your abilities to serve other people. This is why I'm always saying, I need you to jump on a team to serve. We're doing well as a church without you, but we could be doing so much better with you. Use the gifts that God has given you to make a difference in the lives of other people. Come here on Sundays. Help set stuff up. Pick up some trash. Go through growth tracks so you find out how to lead a small group, how you can serve on first impressions, how you can help with our outreach. Man, join a team. Be intentional about serving. Here's what Jesus says in Mark 10:45. He says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, talking about himself, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. The reason why we serve others is because Jesus came to serve us. So he calls us to serve other people. We serve others so that they can benefit, not so we can get attention. Many people sometimes serve so that way they can get the attention, so that way their name can be trending on Twitter and on Facebook. So that way we can get the pat on the back. Some people do nice things on your jobs just so that way they can get the promotion, just so that way they can get the attention. And Jesus was like, no, I want you to serve even if nobody says a thank you, even if nobody says a good job, even if nobody says an attaboy, whatever the case may be. I want you to serve because I've served you. Amen. Use your gifts to serve people. I will intentionally serve others. Serving is about edifying others, not elevating myself. It's not about grabbing a title. It's about grabbing a towel. What do I mean by that? Jesus grabbed a towel and washed the feet of his disciples. He calls us to do the same. Use your gifts to serve others. And then also, I will intentionally share Christ. And I'm going to close here. I will intentionally share the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel? I just shared it a few moments ago. It's God's grace extended to you through his son, Jesus Christ. It's Jesus bleeding on the cross for your sinfulness, for your sins, paying the penalty for your sins, resurrecting on the third day. It's Jesus bringing you into a new family, his own. It's Jesus reconciling you to himself. It's Jesus forgiving all of your sins, past, present, and future. And let me help you understand this. The greatest investment that we can make in the life of another person is not just what we give them. It's not by us serving them. It's by sharing Christ with them. That's the greatest impact. It's by sharing the message of Christ, inviting them to receive God's love and join his family. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Notice what Paul says. We are his ambassadors. An ambassador goes and speaks on behalf of the kingdom. We go and speak on behalf of Jesus. We go and tell people, this is what Jesus has done for you, and it is amazing, and we want you to experience it. Matter of fact, before Jesus left earth to go back and ascend to heaven, he's coming back again, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Mark 16:15 says this. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go share Christ with others. You have coworkers that you work with right now who are lost, who don't know Jesus. You have family members right now who are lost and don't know Jesus. And God has strategically risen you up in a time like this in your family so you can share Christ with them, the hope of the world. There is no other hope outside of Jesus. Hope is not found in a blunt. Hope is not found in a new promotion. Hope is not found in a new relationship. Hope is only found in relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. And he's given you that charge to go share it with others. He wants you to be intentional with sharing Christ. That's what it's about. Sharing Jesus with people. Welcome Home Sunday. Next Sunday is a perfect opportunity for you to do that. Because we're creating a space. We're going to be very intentional with so much stuff that we do next Sunday so that people would know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus suffered and bled and died and rose so that way you could be a part of the family of God. Let me say it like this. People who know the love of Jesus tell others about the love of Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know his love? And do you love him? Because if you do, he wants you to go share that love with other people. Our generosity, y'all, is what God uses to impact the lives of others. I'll say this, last statement. And we got it in your notes and it'll be on the screen as well. A lot of times we think giving, you know, our resources about us, right? Man, if I do this, God will bless me more. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. It's about impacting the lives of other people. It's about all eternity. Heaven and hell are real places. And your generosity to God impacts that. So let me say it like this. It's on the screen. That giving your life to Jesus changes you. But giving what you have to Jesus changes others. So if you've been trying to figure out, man, why should I even give to God? Why should I give my time? Why should I share Christ? Because it changes others. And many of us stopped at the first part of that statement. We gave our life to Jesus. He changed it forevermore. Awesome. That's great. Celebrate that. But that's not the end of the story. God wants to use you to change others. He wants you to leave a mark on the lives of other people. And the way he does that is through our generosity. And if you're like me, even as I was kind of preparing this message, I had to kind of repent because I've plenty of times found myself kind of thinking about that what God has given me is just for me to enjoy. No. Notice even what Paul says back in 1 Timothy 6. He's given it to us for our enjoyment. It's not about for just your individual enjoyment. It's so everybody can experience it. And even our generosity as a church, y'all, it makes a difference. Because of your generosity, we've been able to do things like give to new churches getting planted all around this world every month since day one. Because of your generosity, most of you guys don't even know this, but every third Friday of the month, this building, the Performing Arts Center, has a big youth open mic night. And because of your generosity, we're able to give and buy pizzas for them every month. So that way, they don't have to worry about the cost. No strings attached. We don't do it so that way we can kind of build up currency so that way when we need something. So, hey, you remember the pieces we bought? No. God has been good to us. And we want people to see that as a church, man, we're generous. This is why we do Serve Day. This is why every month we're doing something that involves us reaching out and being generous. This is why this month in particular, we've been asking you to bring your resources so that way we can send them down to Puerto Rico. It's about that. It's about generosity. Do you not think the people who've been impacted by that hurricane, I'm glad we appreciate that? They might not, may not ever know your name, but you know who's keeping record of it? God himself. And we may not ever see the impact of our generosity totally, but when we get to heaven, God will say, hey, this person got saved because of your generosity to your church, so your church was able to give to a new church getting planted, so that way that person gave their life to Christ at that new church that you helped to plant. You may not ever see it right now, but you will see it. That's why Paul says in verse 19, you're laying up treasures in heaven, and God will honor you because of it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, so I'm closing. I have two questions that I want to ask us. The first question is this, man, is there an area right now in our life where God is calling us to be more generous? Maybe it's as it relates to your giving to the church. It's obedience to God. Maybe it's you're not sharing Christ with others. Maybe it's you're not using your gifts, but God says today, hey, I want to grow you to a new place where you be intentional with leaving a mark, being generous, because I've been generous to you. And if that's you and you're saying, man, Pastor, that's me, I can do better. Would you do me a favor while nobody's looking? Could you just be honest and just raise your hand just so I can see you, just to be honest and be like, you know, I could do more. I'm doing a lot, but I could do more. I'm not throwing shade at what you're doing, but I believe that God calls us to do more because he's done more. Awesome. Thank you for your honesty. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person who's honest about where they are, myself included, we first ask that you would forgive us for withholding the very thing that you've given us to give back to you, to give to others. And so today, God, we make a declaration and a decision to not be containers, but to be conduits, to not be reservoirs, but to be channels of your grace and what you've given us. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning, the first thing that you need to do, if you haven't already done this, if you're far from God and you've yet to receive his goodness, his grace, his love, his mercy, generosity will never make sense to you until you've given your life to Christ. And I believe that some of us here today have come here. You've been searching for things. You've been searching for more fulfillment. You've been searching for more satisfaction. You've been searching for more joy. You thought it would come by promotion. You thought it would come by this or that, and it didn't. It only comes by Jesus. And Jesus is saying, today, would you just receive the free gift that I've given you? I want to be generous towards you. I just want you to receive it by faith. And if that's you and you're saying, Pastor, I want to receive it. I want to believe in Christ. I want to be a part of his family. I want to receive his love. I want to receive his forgiveness of my sins. If that's you, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, could you just do me a favor and just lift up your hand so I can pray with you just for a moment? If that's you, nobody's looking. It's just you and God. If that's you, no matter who you are, no matter your age, no matter your background, doesn't matter who you are. But if that's you and you're saying, I need to give my life to Christ this morning. And if that's you this morning, you're saying, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for your great gift. Thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the grace of God and his generosity towards us. Amen. Hey. If you made a decision to give Christ your life, here's what I want you to do. As a matter of fact, all of us, go ahead and do this. If you got to worship God when you walked in, you got a connection card in it, I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today, and drop it in the box.